It's that time again for Kingdom Building right here on WAIF 88.3 FM, Cincinnati. Stay tuned for Kingdom Building. If you need a shot of encouragement, we got some for you. So stay tuned to Kingdom Building.
Righteousness, peace, war, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. That's the kingdom of God. Everybody sing righteousness, peace, joy in the Holy Ghost. Oh, righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. That's the kingdom of God. Don't you want to be a part of the kingdom? Don't you want to be a part?
WAIF is a community radio station, serves only to open its airwaves to responsible, divergent points of view. The opinions expressed during this program do not reflect the views of WAIF, its staff, or board of trustees. The opinions expressed reflect my own views or the views of my guests. Thank you for listening to WAIF Cincinnati. And thanks for tuning in to Kingdom Building. We're here every Wednesday from 12 to 1. So glad that you've tuned in today on this beautiful, beautiful Wednesday. Beautiful Wednesday. What is it? June 12th?
Is it June 12th?
Man, I tell you. This year's almost half over, folks.
Yes, it is.
Think about that. That is just unbelievable. The year's almost half over. That's just not possible. It's not possible. Well, we've got a show for you today because, guys, we're going to talk about something that I'm dealing with. And if I'm dealing with it, probably Mike's dealing with it. If Mike's dealing with it, probably Oscar's dealing. From time to time, we all deal with discouragement.
Amen.
We get discouraged sometimes, you know. It's like, oh, man, it's like, what else can happen? You know, you ever said that before, you know? Don't do it. Don't ask. Don't ask what else could happen, because let me tell you, something may just come right down the pike on you there. So, we're going to talk about overcoming discouragement, and I wrote down this, overcome discouragement with a strong dose of encouragement. You know, you got both ends of the spectrum. You know, when you feel encouraged, you're feeling good. When you're feeling discouraged, you're feeling bad. So let's kind of meet in the middle there, and let's balance things out. So if you feel discouraged today, or if you want to know how to overcome discouragement for the next time it happens, because chances are it's going to happen somewhere down the line here, listen in today. And always our phone lines are open, 749-1444. If you have a comment, need prayer, or have a wonderful testimony of what the Lord's doing in your life. So, okay, well, let's talk about, for just briefly, we're going to talk about discouragement, and then we're going to talk a lot about encouragement. So the definition of being discouraged is to deprive oneself of courage or confidence. Sometimes it is good to discourage someone from making a bad decision. So, I mean, you know, it is okay to discourage. I mean, if you told a little baby, don't touch that hot stove, that's a positive thing.
Yeah, but it's like saying sick 'em to a dog.
I know. It's like, okay, let me reach over there and touch that stove. Yes.
That's true.
So, you know, but we're going to concentrate on the bad discouragement, you know. Wouldn't it be great if regrettable decisions were limited to ones born out of stupidity and foolishness? You know, sometimes we make bad decisions, and it's not, we're not doing it out of stupidity or foolishness. We're doing it thinking we're doing the right thing, and then we end up realizing that was not the right
thing. Do it out of emotions.
Could be emotions. Could just be someone that did their homework and planned and whatever. And I mean, look at all the businesses that fold in the first year that they're open.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they may have done all their due diligence. They may have done this, done that, and the other, and it still was not a good decision. Maybe their marketing wasn't there. Maybe it was a bad location. Maybe, you know, this, that, or the other. Sadly, there are plenty of decisions you and I have made that seemed like a good decision at the time, or at least not a bad decision. But later, we are surprised how badly our decision turned out. I bet you there's a lot of people saying, yeah, my first marriage, my second
don't step on me.
Yeah, I'm not looking at you, Mike. I'm not looking at you. But anyway. So what happens if you don't face discouragement head on? Well, a discouraging day becomes a discouraging week. A week becomes a month. A month becomes a season. And then it basically gets you down to a point where you just give up. And we don't want anybody to give up. Or at least never realizing your potential if you stay in that condition. So we're going to talk to you today about how to avoid discouragement. We're going to do a lot of scriptures here today, but if you have to just hear for a second and then turn the dial off or something, at least hear this, that the Word of God is your main source of encouragement. And that Word of God is not only the written Word that's called your Bible, it's also that special time that you spend with Him in your prayer closet or your war room. And spending time with the Lord and hearing His voice, you know, he hears you, and guess what? He wants you to hear Him.
That's right.
So I'm going to just go over these five things. I'm going to read one scripture and open it up. And I apologize to these two brothers, but I was in a situation last week when I had a team come in to do auditing and whatever, and they weren't supposed to be there. You know, they came on Tuesday and spent all day Tuesday, especially in the afternoon and evening. And then I thought by, 11:30 I could get out of there. Did not happen. So I apologize to you guys for giving you such short notice. I was intending to be there even up to about 11 o'clock. So sorry, guys, but that's what brothers are for, right? We are our brother's keeper.
Well, we knew you were here with us in spirit.
I was. I was praying for you guys, and I knew that you guys would do a great job, and I appreciate all that you do. So thank you, brothers.
You're welcome. God bless you.
Okay. How do we avoid discouragement? I just threw down five things. Just five things. Sometimes people get a whole list of stuff and you forget what it is. So I just thought five is an easy number to remember. So how to avoid discouragement? Number one, pray.
Mm-hmm.
Pray. Praying. Praying is not, you don't have to have this elaborate prayer. You don't have to have this thing that, you think, there for a while, I thought, man, I don't pray very good. I hear some of these people pray, and it's like, oh, wow, they just captivate you when they pray, And then finally the Lord said, that's not important. It's the condition of your heart when you pray. That's the important thing. So, but praying, and we can talk about each one of these, but I'm going to run through them real quick. But praying is very, very important if you feel discouragement and you feel discouraged by something. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Number two, we already mentioned it, getting into the Word. There are so many. We're going to come up with some scriptures here today. If you are happen to be at home and you can write down some scriptures, these are going to be some good scriptures that you can write down. But get into the Word. I personally, when I feel discouraged, I get into the Psalms. I love the Psalms. They're beautiful. They are encouraging. And there's a lot of encouragement in other parts of the Bible, but I just seem to really feel that the Psalms are like that balm of Gilead that just, you know, I can just put it over that hurt and it just starts to begin healing. Number three, don't dwell on the discouragement. And that's what a lot of people do. I know I've done that many times where once I get discouraged, I get down and I stay down. And like I said up there earlier, I said, you know, discouraging day can become a discouraging week. We can't dwell on the discouragement. Whatever is discouraging you, you've got to move past it and start doing things that are going to encourage you. Number four, go encourage someone else. And that's an interesting piece of medical advice. I mean, if you're hurting, go and help someone else who's hurting. It's amazing when you start focusing on others how your situation is not as big as it may seem at first. And fifth and final, again, there's a lot more that we could talk about, but we're going to kind of just keep it here. You know, get with encouraging people. You know, stay away from the discouraging people. I know you can't totally stay away from, I mean, there's discouraging people out there that you're going to run into. Oh. No doubt about it. But try, if you have a choice, pick people that encourage you, people that make you feel good. And that sometimes will help you overcome in those discouraging situations. The text I have for today is the humble. This is Psalms 69:32. It's a great psalm. And it's also a great scripture to write down, put it on the refrigerator or whatever. But it says, the humble will see their God at work and be glad. Let all who seek God's help be encouraged. So there you go. That could be number six, seek God's help. If you seek God's help, you're going to be encouraged. So, okay, brothers, there you go. See what you think of any of that. We got a lot of other scriptures, but we'll get to them as the hour goes.
Well, Rich, you know, you read Psalm 69:32, and I think you need to go to 69:33.
Go for it.
The Lord hears the needy and does not despise his captive people. You know, when you're in a time of discouragement, you're being held captive by the discouragement. And, you know, you can allow it to build and build and build where the weight of it can just put you in such a bad situation that you feel like you can't overcome anything. And, you know, that's not what the Lord wants us to do. He wants us to feel free.
Amen.
Free to live with him, you know, in his presence. And allow his will to be done in our lives and not all the other stuff that's going on around us.
Amen. Yep, that's for sure. I mean, it's all through the Bible where, you know, people get discouraged. That's just the way it is. And right. It's all through the Bible. I mean, I don't even have the scripture written down, but the Lord just brought to my memory of David encouraging himself. He got down. You know, this is a man after God's own heart, and he got discouraged.
Yeah.
You know, and he got to a point where he had to encourage himself in the Lord. Well, how do you do that? What we just said, he went, took it to the Lord. That's the best way to encourage yourself.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, Rich, that's funny that you said that because I had written that scripture down.
Oh, really?
Yeah, 1 Samuel, it's 1 Samuel 30.
Is that what it is?
Chapter 30, verse 6. But if the backstory on that is that David and his men were out and they were, you know, warring around with different people. And
1 Samuel 30, what, 6?
30, verse 6, yeah.
6, okay.
And what happened was that the Amalekites had came into Ziklag, and Ziklag was a city there where a lot of David's men's families were, and they utterly killed everybody. Hmm. And David's men were really upset with him because they hadn't protected their family. And actually, they were talking about even stoning David to death.
Yeah, right.
You know. Mm-hmm. And I'll just read you a little bit of this. And it says, "And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his son and his daughter. But David encouraged himself in his God."
There you go.
"And David said unto Abishar, the priest of Amalek's son, I pray thee, bring hither the ephod. And he brought forth the ephod to David. And David inquired of the Lord, Shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered him, Pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake them without fail to recover all." And you know, David, in those times, the high priest had on an ephod, and he had what was called the Urim and Thummim inside of the ephod. Mm-hmm. And when they didn't know what to do, they would ask that, and God would answer them through those stones. They were stones. And the Urim and the Thummim, and they literally mean light and perfection. And you know, Scripture tells us that we're to take heed to a light that shines in a dark place. And that dark place, his light shines inside each one of us. He's the light that lights every man that comes into the world. Mm-hmm. And any time that we find ourselves in a place of discouragement, if we will seek the Lord and begin to say, Lord, shine your light into this area of my life, whatever discouragement I'm having, so that I can come out of this victorious. Because, you know, he wants us to be victorious in these things. And we've all had times of great depression or times of discouragement or whatever. I mean, I shared a sermon Sunday about Moses, where Moses actually said, Lord, if it ain't going to get any better than this, won't you just kill me and take me? That's pretty daggone
discouraged.
That's pretty discouraged. But you know what? God told him, he said, I'm going to answer their prayers, basically. But what he did was, he answered the prayers, but then all of the people who were grumbling and complaining, he let a plague come upon them, and he took them out of the way. And you know, sometimes it doesn't pay to be too grumbly and too complainy after a while. Scripture in the New Testament tells us, do all things without murmurings and disputings, that you may be harmless and blameless, the sons of God, amidst a crooked and perverse nation, to whom you shine forth as lights in the world. And you know, we need to ask the Lord, Lord, help us get encouraged in you. And he's the only person that really can encourage you, because Scripture says the joy of the Lord is our strength. And any time that we find ourselves in a deep place of discouragement, we need to ask the Lord, Lord, let the joy of the Lord begin to rise up. And part of how you do that is that if you can do one of two things when things are going wrong. You can complain about it and keep complaining about it and complaining about it. And you know what? It ain't going to get no better.
As long as you keep complaining,
it ain't going to get no better. Or you can say, Lord, I praise you right in the middle of this situation. I'm going to let the joy of the Lord rise in my heart. I'm going to sing songs of praise and worship unto you. And a lot of times what will happen is that situation will turn completely around. Either the situation will change or God will change your attitude in the situation. And a lot of times what he does is he begins to rise you into a higher realm, where when you look at the problem, it's not as big as you thought it was. You know what I mean? And the solutions a lot of times begin to appear, what God would have you do. But you have to look at it sometimes from an entirely different perspective than that of grumbling and complaining. Because the grumbling and complaining is going to cause you to sink down, where praising and worshiping God is going to cause you to rise up. You know, and there's a psalm that says, lift up your head, ye gates, lift up your head, you everlasting doors. And who'll come in? The King of Glory. And what's he mean by lifting up your heads? He's talking about lifting up your thought processes. Begin to say, hey, I'm going to praise you, God, in spite of what's happening. And a lot of times, once you do that, then the victory begins to come in. And that's not an easy thing to do. But I tell you what, when you do that, you'll find that the Lord will begin to cause you to have a gain a surpassing victory in whatever situation you're in. And he'll change either the situation or he'll change your outlook on the situation, you know.
And either way, it's going to be good.
And like with David, he encouraged himself in the Lord. Well, how did he encourage himself in the Lord? I believe he did it because David was a psalmist. And you know what the word psalmist means? He was a song. He was a songwriter. He played the harp, I think, and he sang. You know, and buddy, I'm sure that he went to praising the Lord and began to probably sing songs of praise to God. And probably when he did that, he began to get encouraged, and God began to give him the answer from the Urim and the Thummim, which was lights and perfection. And we know that in Christ, that His light is inside of us, and He is our perfection, you know. And if we'll just look to Him in every situation, the answer is always on the way. You know, we sing that song, you know, may not come when you want Him, but He'll be there right on time because He's an on-time God. And the answer's always on the way, no matter what we're going through, if we'll just allow ourselves to be lifted into a higher realm to where we can see the answer, you know. And I think that's exactly what David did here by approaching God and seeking the Urim and the Thummim and the lights of perfection. And, you know, we can do the same thing today, but instead of it being stones in the high priest's vest, it's the inner relationship of Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's where the real light and perfection dwells inside of you.
Amen.
I appreciate a little mini sermon there.
There you go. There you go. No extra charge for that one there, folks. Yeah. You just get it for free.
That's
here.
Right.
But, yeah, in Daniel 10, Daniel had a vision of this man.
Yeah.
And this hand of God, basically, but it was in the form of a man. And this man came to Daniel and said, don't be afraid, for you are very precious to God.
Amen.
That's what he's saying to you right now.
That's right.
If you're gripped with fear about something, I know I was told I have to have an operation. I'm not thrilled about that. Well, I'm not the least bit thrilled about that. So, you know, there is that little thing of fear that does pop up whenever you have to go under the knife, you know. And so... but, you know, God is saying to me right now, and he's saying to you right now, don't be afraid, for you are very, very precious to God. Then it says, peace. Wow. If you have a storm going on in your life right now, then what you need is peace. And it says, peace with an exclamation point. Be encouraged with an exclamation point. Be strong. Well, where do we get our strength? Not from our own, you know, we don't do that of our own volition. We do it because he is strong in us. You know, when we admit that we're weak and he is strong, he becomes strong in us. As he spoke these words to me, I suddenly felt stronger and said to him, please speak to me, my Lord, for you have strengthened me. So here, that's just a great example that God loves us. And sometimes we think when he allows us to get into discouragement and he allows us to get into situations where, you know, we're tested, fear comes over us and everything, we need to hear that we are very precious to God, that we have a relationship with him that he absolutely loves. And that he's not a child abuser. He just wants us to grow up. And through this tribulation, we develop that patience and we start waiting on him instead of trying to do it ourselves. So And then, of course, Jesus always kept saying, be encouraged. He said it to the man who was paralyzed, you know, on the mat. And, you know, he saw faith in that paralyzed man. And he said, be encouraged, my child. Your sins are forgiven. Wow. Your sins are forgiven? Back in those days, that was we know that now because the Bible clearly states it. But back in those days, it was like, what? Your sins are... Jesus got in a lot of trouble when he made statements like that. So, and then Jesus turned around when he saw this one lady. It says, daughter, be encouraged. Your faith has made you well. The woman was healed at that moment. So we are to be encouraged, and God wants to encourage you today.
I'm thinking about the man at Bethesda, mm-hmm. where they laid him every day, and he saw all the people getting healed and all the people going on, and they ask him, why don't you get in? He says, I can't. Nobody.
No man. Yeah.
You know, think about mm-hmm. the discouragement that guy must have had.
Oh, shoot.
You know, he's seeing all the miracles going on around mm-hmm. him, and he's right there and yet can't reach it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and...
I wish Jesus had one of those pools here in Cincinnati. I'd like to go so I don't have to get this operation. Well, you know what? We do have the pool.
He is the pool.
That's right.
And he provides everything we need. And if you need healing, guess what? I'm praying for healing. So y'all out there, pray for my healing. I'll pray for your healing. And you know what? He still does heal. It's not something that he did back in the days that he walked the earth. No, he's still healing. You get in certain circles and people, you know, go to third world countries or whatever. Well, their faith is so fresh and new that, man, I mean, they get healed a lot of the time.
Mm-hmm.
So pray for each other's healings. Healing is the children's bread, and Jesus, Peter said about Jesus, by his stripes we were healed. It's a past tense thing. He's already done it. The healing is already done. We just have to receive the manifestation of that healing.
You know, I'd like to go back to what Oscar was saying. You know, God's already moving in all your situations.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you were talking about attitude and stuff like that. And, you know, the thing is if we have faith that God is actually really moving in everything that's going on in your life, and you receive the answer, but it's not the one you think it is, you know, that's mm-hmm. when you have to change your attitude. Your
that's
attitude
right.
has to be, okay, Lord, you've given me the answer. Might not be what I want, but I can step away from whatever this situation was in my life that's mm-hmm. that's got me in a discouraging attitude mm-hmm. and I can walk on and walk forward. And that's what God wants us to do, is keep moving forward.
Yep, closer to him.
Yeah.
You know,
so we need to take a break here. So Mike, you ready?
It's 12:30.
Yeah, can you believe it? It's unbelievable. This half hour just flew by.
Man. Okay, the Public Library of Cincinnati in Hamilton County features an expanded list of reading programs for both children and adults. The four main categories of events are book discussion groups, regular scheduled story times for children, children's special programs, and adult teen special programs. For more information about the events or any of the 41 branches, call 513-369-6900 or visit www.cincinnatilibrary.org. Suicide is the 11th most frequent cause of death in the United States.
Topic for our topic.
Yes, from suicide every 16 minutes.
Mm.
Suicidal ideas and attempts to harm oneself are the result of problems that may seem like they cannot be fixed. Yeah, I'd say it is, isn't it? Seek professional help. Call the toll-free National Suicide Prevention Hotline at 1-800-273-TALK. That's 1-800-273-7255. 273-8255. There are, lines are open 24/7. Or visit the website at www.suicidepreventionlifeline.org. And you can check out the WAIF webpage at www.waif883.org.
A lot of W's in there.
Yeah, I know. I can't go that fast. At the WAIF website, you'll find a program grid of the WAIF on-air schedule, streaming audio, links to AIF programmers, web pages, and all the other current news about what's going on right here at 88.3.
Say that three times really fast. No. You're listening to Kingdom Building right here on WAIF 88.3 FM.
There you go. Keep going.
You know, we never, it's rare that we even draw any attention to ourselves because it's not us. We don't believe that we have anything to contribute to this program. It's the Lord that does all the contributions. But my name is Rich, here with Oscar and Mike. So I'm so glad that you've tuned in today. It's a beautiful day. I know we're supposed to get some rain later on, but right now it's gorgeous. And we're glad to be here with you. And we're talking today, if you just tuned in, about how we don't have to stay discouraged in given situations, that we are to find our encouragement wherever we can. And that's, we came up with five: praying, getting into the Word of God, don't dwell on discouragement, don't stay there, get out of it. I know it's easier said than done. I'm not trying to sit here and say, oh, you know, that's so easy to do. No, it's not easy, but just don't dwell on it. Just start feeding your mind with the Word of God and start praying and listening to that live Word of God, and you will be encouraged, no question about it. The other one's go encourage someone else, and I'm reminded, guys, of Jonathan. You know, Jonathan in 1 Samuel 23:16 went to find David and encouraged him to stay strong in his faith in God. Wow, that's amazing that someone went to David, the man after God's own heart, and telling him to stay strong in his faith in God. That's pretty neat.
Well, it also shows you where David was.
Well, David was definitely discouraged in many areas of, you know, all you got to do is start reading in 1 Samuel. And then fifth, but definitely not last, get with encouraging people. You know, like Jonathan and David had this friendship and this brotherhood, this bromance or whatever they call it now, where they just love to encourage one another and love to be around each other. And we just pray right now. In fact, let's pray. Anybody want to pray? Pray that people just receive this word from the Lord that they are to be encouraged. Anybody feel led?
I can do it.
Okay.
Father, in Jesus' name, we just come into your presence right now, Lord. We just ask you to help each individual out there encourage themselves in the Lord, just like David did. And part of that means to just, if they find themselves grumbling and complaining, just start praising the Lord. Yes. Instead. It's hard to put sour water and sweet water out of the same
spigot.
Yep. It just doesn't work.
Mm-mm.
And, you know, if you find yourself sinking down, just give this a try, and you'll find out that it'll work. You know, Mike before was saying something about your attitude. Well, your attitude is going to, it's going to have a lot to do with your altitude in God, how far up you go in God. And the more that your attitude changes and begins to be an attitude of prayer and worship and just loving God, the higher you'll go in Him, and the more that you'll see things from an entirely different perspective. You know, we sing a song at church that's, and the words go, rise and soar into the sunlight rays, using both your wings of prayer and praise. Mount like eagles higher in the sky, and you'll find things look so different as you fly. And, you know, that's the way it is in the Lord. The more, Father, I just pray right now that that person out there that's discouraged today, that they'll decide to raise both of the wings of prayer and praise. First of all, they'll begin to acknowledge that you're in control through their prayers and that they're going to trust you regardless of what's happening out there. And then they're going to start praising you, Lord. And you'll give them a whole different perspective of looking at situations. And a lot of situations, you'll change them. But most of all, you'll change our heart and our attitude. And as our attitude changes, our altitude will rise in you to where we see things in an entirely different way. And a lot of times the winds of adversity that blow into your life, they shouldn't be to beat you down. They should be to cause you to raise them both of those wings and soar into the heavens.
Praise you, Lord.
And Father, in Jesus' name right now, I ask you to just help us all begin to rise into the heavenly realms in you, that we can see that you're in control. We're going to trust you. And as we do that, you're going to show yourself mighty.
Praise
because
you.
You're a mighty, mighty God and a loving and wonderful Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
If God's touching you right now, give us a call at 749-1444. If you have any prayer requests, we will pray with you. We'll agree with you. If one can put 1,000 to flight and two can put 10,000 to flight, guess what this whole listening audience can do and us three sitting in here? It's amazing. The power of God is amazing.
It truly is.
Amen.
You know, one of the ways that you can encourage yourself is to thank the Lord every morning for all the good things he's given you in your life.
Even the bad.
Yeah. Even the bad.
That's not easy.
I did that this morning.
It's good. It's good to praise him for all of it.
I did.
Right.
I did. I thanked him for all the trials and all the blessings.
You know, where man got in trouble was that he began to eat of the knowledge of good and evil.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, what we really need to do is begin to just eat in the knowledge of God.
That's right.
If we eat in the knowledge of God, then it all becomes good.
Praise him in all things.
In Romans 8 chapter, it says, "And for we know that all things work together for the good of them that
That's
love
right.
the Lord and are thee called according to his purpose."
Amen.
How many is all things?
All.
That's right.
Everyone.
Even what seems to be bad.
That's right.
If we'll just trust him and look to him in the situation. You know, I've heard you tell the story many times about Joseph. You know, Joseph got cast into prison because he told his vision that God gave him. His brothers began to mistreat him. They were going to kill
jealous.
Him. They threw him into a pit. They sold him into slavery. He was in slavery, and he was doing the right thing. He got mistreated there. He got cast into prison. And what did God do ultimately? Brought him right to the place that, of the vision that he told him, where he would rule over a lot of the nations, and he did. And, you know, those same brothers had to come before him to get food because they didn't have food
Humble
later on.
Themselves, yeah.
And they didn't know that it was Joseph.
Mm-mm.
And all of a sudden, their guilt began to rise up, and they said, do you think God's requiring our brother's blood at our hands? Because they thought they'd killed him, see?
Mm-hmm.
And Joseph turned around and wept. And then later on, Joseph could say to them, "You meant this for evil, but God meant it for good."
That's one of the best lines in the Bible.
Oh, wow.
If we could live that and we could just be a part of that every day, we would never be offended. Nobody could offend you because you see God's sovereignty in all things.
Right.
And so whatever comes your way, guess what? It's to make you better. It's
Amen.
To make you more mature men and women of God. And if we could just get that vision of, look, what you may have meant it for bad. You may have purposely tried to hurt me. You may have purposely tried to do things to discredit me or whatever. But you know what? God can use all that.
Yes, he can.
To bring glory to him.
Absolutely.
You know, and that's the bottom line. Look at the glory the Lord that was revealed when those brothers in Jacob finally saw Joseph for who he was. They went, wow, God is amazing.
Right. And even though they had been bad to him and mistreated him, He forgave them.
He still loved them.
And he loved them. He totally forgave them. And I tell you what, there's somebody out there today that you've had a relative who has mistreated you really bad. But I'm going to tell you what, if you'll rise up in God and say, Lord, let me give me a love for that person and a forgiveness, you might find out that God will turn that person's life completely around, because it'll happen a lot of times. You know, many, many situations where parents or a guardian or whatever it is has mistreated you. But then further down the road, the Lord turns that person's life totally around and they become a completely different person. You know, it happens.
Look at all the people, guys, that have been hurt in the church.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, look at all the people that have basically, in some cases, been discarded. You know, because of maybe something they did or whatever, right. They were kicked out of the church, or they were aligned, you know, maligned, I should say. Yeah. And they were basically, they had no other choice but to leave the church. Either maybe they were asked to leave or they left. You know, I never saw Jesus say, well, you know what, I've washed my hands of you.
Well, you know, even what he said to Peter, you know, he told Peter, he said, when you be converted. I mean, this is Peter had been walking with him all this time, because Peter had told him, sort of, Lord, though all forsake you, all leave you, yet I won't, you know, he was saying. And you know what? He did. He denied him three times.
He said, you have the words of life, before he denied him.
That's right.
Yeah.
He understood that, but yet he still denied him.
Well,
and you know what? Sometimes we fall way short of the Lord. But isn't it wonderful, his forgiveness, his mercy, it endures forever.
Hallelujah.
And he always is looking to restore us.
Yes.
Always.
Always.
Know?
I mean, and we should be that same person. We should restore others. We should forgive others.
Right.
Well, but you don't know what they did to me. Well, I don't know. And God, I don't know how deep the hurt is, but yeah. God does know.
Yes, he does.
And God is capable of healing any deep wound that has been inflicted upon you from birth.
That's right.
I mean, you know, you may have had parents that didn't want you.
Yeah.
And you were passed on from home to home, or relative to relative, or even foster home to foster home. And wow, I mean, that would definitely have, that would be a deep, deep wound there that would leave a deep, deep scar. But you know what? What they meant for evil, God can use all that to make you just a wonderful, wonderful believer in Jesus Christ that can go out and start helping other people in a similar situation.
You know that there was a movie out a while back, and it was about Mercy Me. It was about the group Mercy Me.
Good movie.
And you know, his father mistreated him something awful, and the Lord saved his son, and the son started writing music, and they're one of the biggest gospel groups there is out there today, you know, Mercy Me. And yet God ended up saving his father before it was all done, and they were restored. And so many times we just don't realize that, you know, no matter how horrible somebody's been to you, God can touch that person's life, and he can turn them on a dime. You know what I mean?
Don't give up on anybody.
That's right. Because he's a merciful, wonderful God. And you know, there's none of us that deserve his goodness. But thank God that it ain't about deserving. It's about his grace.
Amen.
That unmerited favor, that divine influence upon our heart, its reflection out into our lives. It's all about that. It's not about what we do and what we have done in the past. It's about what he did on Calvary. Mm-hmm. You know, if we remember that, boy, that what a tremendous thing that can change a person's life.
If you have any comments or questions, or you want to just call in and chime in, it's 749-1444, 749-1444. If you feel God's touched you today, we'd love to hear from you. 749-1444.
You know, Oscar, you were just talking about the movie and that stuff, you know. That's exactly a situation that happened in my life.
Yeah.
my father and I became estranged over a comment that he made to me a long time ago.
Yeah.
And I allowed it to fester in me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we became estranged. And once I was able to forgive him, our relationship was restored.
That's awesome. Yeah. Praise the Lord.
That's right. And you know that so many times, God, if we just realize that God forgave us, and Scripture says he'll have judgment without mercy to him that hasn't shown mercy, but mercy can rejoice in the face of judgment. And when we're merciful to other people, we receive and obtain the mercy of God in our life even more and greater. Amen. You know, and so many people think that it's all right to hold a grudge that are Christians, and it's not.
Mm-mm.
You know, you need to ask the Lord, if you're holding a grudge today, Lord, please take this out of my life, you know. And I believe that if you pray like that, he'll begin to remove it, you know.
Doesn't the scripture say if you have some odd against someone that, yeah, and you're giving your offerings to the Lord or whatever, just stop it.
Right.
Go reconcile with that person and then bring your offerings to the Lord.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And so many times we don't do that, you know. And then we wonder why our prayers are hindered and why, you know, the move of the Holy Spirit in our life is hindered sometimes. Mm-hmm. Well, because we haven't done the basic things that he's told us to do, you know.
And it's typically, at least it has been with me, if I've withheld forgiveness. Uh-huh. I can honestly say that I have forgiven everybody at this point, but I can honestly say it wasn't immediate.
No, it doesn't happen always.
It wasn't immediate.
No.
And I'm sorry to say that, but it's just the truth.
No.
But I can honestly tell you that if you take it to the Lord, he heals the broken hearts.
He does.
He really does. And if you allow him to heal your broken heart, I guarantee you he'll heal it.
That's true.
Guaranteed. So you're listening to Kingdom Building. We're here every Wednesday from 12 to 1. So glad that you've tuned in today. I guess everybody's listening. Nobody wants to call in. Just that one person. God's speaking to you right now. There's just that one person. Just give us a call, 749-1444. You don't even have to say much. Just say, I'm listening. That's all. We just... You know, we're talking about discouragement and encouragement, and yeah, you can't believe how it encourages us when someone calls up and says, hey, I'm listening. I've been listening to you guys for years now, and it's just a real word of encouragement for us to keep on keeping on. Not that we need it, but it sure does
keep
help.
Showing up.
So it's, gosh, it's... What, 12:47?
Yeah.
12:48. Well, you know, we just want to be a source of encouragement for you because we know that you're not going to get it very many places out there. There's a lot of places that brings the discouragement. There's a lot of places that has... that brings bad news, and we want to bring good news to you, and that's something that... We feel is very, very important, is to bring a word of encouragement that will help you keep on keeping on. There's that caller. God bless you, caller. God bless you, caller. Thank you for calling in. And what's going on in your life?
It's good.
Praise the Lord. I love hearing that.
I'm listening and I'm enjoying the program, and the Lord is still in the healing business.
Amen.
Thank you.
You're welcome, and thank you so much for calling in, and God bless you, and let's just pray for that sister. We thank you, Lord, for that sister.
Yes.
She is a precious sister. And,
amen,
Lord, just encourage her. Just,
yes,
Lord, just bless her. Praise just bless God. Her. Open up the windows of heaven and just rain down blessings upon this sister.
Amen.
She's a beautiful, beautiful person. We thank her for calling in today. God
amen
bless you,
praise
sis.
God. Yes.
Yep.
Yes.
Okay, that's that one caller. Now, there might be another. Sometimes in this business or whatever you want to call the radio thing is the ice gets broken, and once the ice gets broken, others start calling in. 749-1444. We'd love to hear from you today. 749-1444.
You know, and even if you've got a testimony out there of how that God has released you from even having hard feelings towards somebody, or feeling like somebody mistreated you, and knowing that God has given you a love for them, and you've seen them released and yourself released, share that testimony. Because mm-hmm. you know, a lot of times that you know, it's like when the 10 got healed and only one came back and began, you know, the blind people, and only one came back in the scripture and told what the Lord had done. And so many times we cut ourselves off from future blessings by not being willing to share the beautiful thing that God did for us, you know. And there's somebody out there that a lot of times needs to hear that testimony, because mm-hmm. maybe they're going through exactly the same thing you are. And if you share that testimony, it'll touch somebody's life, you know.
Praise the Lord. Mm-hmm. Yeah, when, you know, talking about those lepers, one tenth came back.
Yeah, yeah.
That means 90% took the blessing, took the healing, and didn't even come back and thank him for it.
Yeah, yeah.
And Jesus doesn't need, you know, it's not like Jesus got upset with them and said, "Oh well, heck with you guys," you know,
right.
The nine that didn't come back. But what a wonderful thing to thank the Lord.
Right.
I mean, that's, we say this all the time. In the back of 1 Thessalonians, it says, you know, rejoice in the Lord always.
That's right.
Always. That means always. That means morning, noon, and night, even in your sleep. Rejoice in the Lord. And it says, pray without ceasing. What's that mean? That means have God in the forefront of your mind.
Yeah.
Have him there all the time. Yeah. Talk to him as you're walking. I have 2 acres that I have to mow on a tractor. I talk to the Lord there. I go, yeah. Lord, here I am. You know, I'm sitting here mowing this grass. I feel like Adam in the garden. You know, he had to start tilling the land. But anyway, and then the last thing is give thanks to the Lord.
That is the will of God in
Christ Jesus. If you want to know the will of God for your life, just begin with that one thing: rejoicing in the Lord always, pray without ceasing, and thank him in all things.
Right.
Wow. Wow, that's, he makes it so easy, doesn't he?
Yeah.
I mean, seriously.
And he's not even saying thank him in just the good things. It's saying everything give thanks.
Lord, thank you that I woke up.
This is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you.
Yeah, just like the other deacon. Thank you for waking me up today.
Right.
Yep. He didn't have to wake you up today.
That's right.
But he woke you up today.
Well,
your heart's beating.
Like
your
song,
lungs are breathing.
Like the song
that's what
Brother
I said.
Jefferson.
That's what I just
said.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I love that song. You know, he wakes you up in each morning, and
that's right.
That if you can't thank him for that, then you can't thank him for anything. I mean, he gave you another day. Now, what are you going to do with it?
Yeah.
You know, I'm fortunate enough right now to have a job where at a golf course and I have to be there at 6 o'clock in the morning, and on a clear day in the morning at 6 o'clock when the sun comes up, just take a look around.
Yeah.
You talk about being reminded me of God's majesty.
Yes.
I tell you what, there is nothing.
Yep.
It's like, whoa. I mean, it just jumps at me.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, that's what a lot of people need to do. If you're going through a discouraging time, look around at what all God are going on around you. There are so many blessings going on around you.
Amen. Mm-hmm. And take this word today. If you're not going through a discouraging time, praise the Lord. That's awesome.
Yeah, that's good.
You know, God bless you. But you know what? Take this word today and stick it in your pocket and pull it out when you do find yourself in a discouraging or frustrating situation. Because you know what? Sooner or later, it's going to come up.
That's right.
So if you're proactive and you're ready and you're, you're dealing with it before it even happens, guess what? You're going to get through it so much better. You're going to be so much better off by knowing that it's coming. You know, just like when you're driving down the road, there's warning signs saying, hey, the right lane ends and it goes down to one lane or something. Well, right. If they didn't put these signs and then all of a sudden, the last second, right, that lane's gone, guess what? You're going to crash.
You're going to go fly.
And burn.
Right.
But if you know it's coming, you can prepare for it and move into the left lane because the right lane somewhere down the road is going to go away.
That's right.
So take this and say, okay, you know, it's ammunition for me. So when that discouraging time does come up, I'm ready to deal with it.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to deal with it through prayer. We're going to deal with it through getting in the Word of God. And I love the Psalms. And you're going to pray, we're going to deal with it by getting around encouraging people. I mean, mm-hmm. take a white blank sheet of paper and draw a line down the middle and put all the people you know that are encouragers mm-hmm. on the left and all the ones that you know are discouragers on the right. And I bet you're going to have a more than double the encouragers than you will the discouragers.
Yeah,
I would hope so. If you don't, you know, you need to find some new encouragers to add to your list, you know. And then the other thing is go out and encourage someone else. Go out and encourage someone else. It's amazing when you need prayer, if you go out and pray for someone else, how it gets your mind off of your problems, gets your mind off of your fears, gets your mind off of your discouragements because you're praying for someone else and your focus. And we sing that song, forget about yourself, concentrate on him and worship him, you know? Forget about yourself. We sometimes spend too much time thinking about ourselves.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yep. Way too much time.
You know? Yeah. And if we focus on others, then, I mean, there's nothing, if God puts you in a marriage, there's nothing better than to focus on your spouse.
That's right.
You know, I mean, when you're focusing on your spouse, guess what? It's going to come back to you.
It does.
I mean, if you're, you know, that's one thing Julie and I really do. I mean, if she cooks, I clean. If I cook, she cleans. I mean, and we don't talk about it. We do nice things for each other because we love each other.
That's good.
And start doing nice things for your spouse. You know, start doing things that you don't normally do. Take that extra step and that, you know, go that extra mile and do something special for your spouse here today and every day.
Amen.
Yeah, I agree.
You're listening to Kingdom Building right here on WAIF 88.3 FM, Cincinnati. Tara Robinson is coming up next with The Ultimate Risk. And we are so glad that you tuned in today to Kingdom Building. And we'll be back next Wednesday at 12 noon. And make sure you're here. Tell your friends, tell your neighbors, tell your family members that Kingdom Building is on.
Peace.
Is on every Wednesday from 12 to 1. God bless you, Cincinnati. See you next week.
there's love.